Well, what a night. I'm talking about last Tuesday night. I can remember when Halloween was the scariest night of the year, and now it's election night. I read that Kanye West, the rapper and songwriter, received 60,000 votes in the presidential election. He spent $9 million. I don't know what that computes out to per dollar. Now, I can understand that his family, the Kardashians, would vote for him. But 60,000 votes for Kanye West? I don't know, there's something wrong with that. But anyway. But as in all elections, there were some winners and there were some losers. And I'd rather be a winner than a loser, wouldn't you? It's fun to win. It's not so much fun to lose. In fact, it's downright painful. Tip O'Neill was the Speaker of the House of Representatives from 1977 to 1987. And he once described what it was like being the leader of the Democratic opposition during the first years of the Ronald Reagan presidency. In his memoirs, O'Neill said that he felt like the guy in the old joke who gets hit by a steamroller. Someone runs to tell his wife about the accident, but his wife says, "I'm taking a bath right now. Could you just slip him under the door?" Well, I can imagine that some of those who lost last Tuesday felt that very same way, that they had been run over by a steamroller. You may have known some of those who ran for office. And while we feel good about those we supported who won, we feel badly for those we supported who lost. And the question is, what do you do when someone fails in some endeavor? What do you do when someone fails to realize their dreams, in this instance, their political aspirations? Well, one of the things you can do is affirm them. Tell them that you admire them for running for office. Indeed, anyone who runs for political office is to be applauded, win or lose, in my book. They tried. They laid it on the line. A lot of people play it safe. They never risk losing, so consequently, they never risk winning. What do you do when someone fails? I'm taking that question now to a different, deeper level. What do you do when someone fails in their Christian walk? Ethically, morally. Someone you know, someone you care about, respect, a family member, a church member, someone in your social group. But what do you do when someone fails in their walk with Christ? Well, one of the things you can do is rejoice and be glad. I've heard people talk about the failures of others, and there's genuine grief in their voice. It really hurts them to think about it and talk about it. On the other hand, there are those who cannot wait to tell someone, anyone. They seem to enjoy the fact that someone has fallen. And it's their mission to make it known in the community. And have you ever noticed, they seem so gleeful about it when they come to you and say, "Have you heard? Have you heard about so-and-so?" The Apostle Paul said it should not be that way. We should not be delighted. We should not be glad when someone goes astray. But the truth is, some people are. And that's sad. What do you do when someone fails? Well, you can wash your hands of them, have done with them. In the year 1830, a father wrote his wayward son a letter informing the boy what he could expect if he didn't give up his current lifestyle and return home. In part, the letter stated, "No entreaties shall prevent me from resorting to every mode of punishment remaining in my power, unless you make an immediate reformation in your conduct. I have given my agents a positive order never to advance you a single penny on my account. I have only to add that should you continue to persist in your present line of conduct, I will forever close my doors against you and never exchange either a letter or a syllable with you while I live." In other words, I'm done with you. And you can do that too. Close the door of your hearts against someone who has failed. What do you do when someone fails? Well, you can pass judgment on them. You can become a member of the rock-throwing team and gather with like-minded people to talk about and even embellish the failures of someone who's not there to defend themselves. Of course, you remember that Jesus condemned throwing rocks, either with our hands or our tongues. Only, he said, only if you have never sinned yourself. Other than that, Jesus tells us one sinner should not be throwing stones at another sinner. So what do you do when someone fails? I would ask that question this way. What's the best thing you can do when someone fails? Here's my answer. In Lorraine Hasberry's play, A Raisin in the Sun, there's this moving, touching depiction of failure. The father of a poor inner city black family has just died, leaving a small life insurance policy. His widow dreams of using this money to buy a small bungalow in a better part of town. Her son, however, wants to invest the money in a business deal which he believes would multiply that sum of money many times over. This young man has never held a job, but he sincerely wants to do something to help his family, and he pleads with his mother for the money. She refuses at first, but finally she relents and gives her son most of the money. He then invests the money with a friend. And this friend skips town with the money. When the young man confesses his failure to his mother and sister, the sister flies into a rage and cursing him, condemning him for being so stupid, for gambling away their future. But suddenly the mother steps in, cutting off the sister's tirade, and said, "I thought I taught you to love your brother." "Love him," the sister says. "There's nothing left to love." "There's always something left to love," says the mother, "and if you ain't learned that, you ain't learned nothing." "Have you cried for that boy today?" she asks. "Not for yourself, because that money's gone, but for him, because of what he's been through. Child, when do you think the time is to love somebody the most? When he's done good? That ain't the time at all. It's when he's at his lowest and can't believe in himself, because the world done whipped him so." When I read that story, I started asking, what does that look like in practical terms? What does that look like fleshed out in your life and mine? I submit to you that loving someone who has failed means, first of all, I think, that you tell them the truth about failure. That failure is not the final word, not unless we allow it to be. That our failures are fatal only if we give up and quit trying. As Max Lucado has it in his book, Glory Days, there ain't no future in the past. You can't change yesterday, but you can do something about tomorrow. And I submit to you that that's a word for anyone who has ever failed in any endeavor, whether it's in the political arena or in life or in your Christian walk. You can't change yesterday, but you can do something about tomorrow. And I submit to you that loving someone who has failed means that you believe in them and that you tell them you believe in them. Indeed, the Apostle Paul said that it ought to be that way, that love believes all things, endures all things. We can even say that love doesn't give up on someone when they fail. Love looks deeper. Love sees more. The heart. The possibilities. Jesus lived that, did he not? You recall how Simon Peter failed him, denied him. Yet Jesus still loved him, still believed in him, that he was capable of better things and greater things. What a man for God Peter became after that. Dennis and Barbara Rainey tells about two boyhood friends named Johnny and Marty who loved baseball. They also loved each other. They were such good friends that they made a pact to always play ball together regardless of what happened. They would let nothing separate them. And as time went on, Johnny became a baseball star. And one day his coach called him apart and told him that the upcoming tryouts for the minor league would happen very soon. And Johnny said, "That's great. Marty and I will go and sign up right away." But the coach responded, "Well, don't worry about Marty. He's just an ugly duckling. He's too skinny. He's too slow. He can't field and he can't hit." And Johnny's response was, "I know he can make it if he has a chance. He's got determination and he can learn to field and hit." And sure enough, training camp resulted in a contract for Johnny. But Marty was cut. Johnny, however, wouldn't sign without Marty. So the club gave in and gave Marty a contract as well. Now this motivated Marty. And Marty slowly began to improve during their third year in the minor leagues. Johnny washed out and quit, but Marty hung in there and became a rising star. Eventually, he was called up to the majors for the St. Louis Cardinals as a shortstop. And he would go on to play in 4 World Series and 7 All-Star games, and in 1944, he was named the most valuable player in the National League. His name is Marty Marion. Years earlier, Marty's mom asked Johnny, "Why are you so determined to keep this pact that you and Marty had made?" And Johnny replied, "Belief is a kind of love. I believe in Marty. We're friends. Believing in someone is the best kind of love." Did you hear that? Belief is a kind of love. Believing in someone is the best kind of love, especially someone who has failed, and especially someone whom everyone else has written off. One thing more, loving someone who has failed means reminding them that God still loves them and that God has never stopped loving them. For sometimes when we fail, we can lose that sense of God's presence. And that sense of God's grace, His unconditional love that would go to a cross for us. And in those moments, we can even think to ourselves that no one, not even God, can love someone like me, can forgive someone like me. But He does. Even when we do unlovely things, He loves us still, and He waits for us to turn around and embrace us and forgive us. "Return to me, and I will return to you," says the Lord. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Motivational speaker Tim Story gives us a new insight into the story of the prodigal son. You know that part in the story where the father is preparing the celebration feast to welcome his lost son back home? And the father says, "Get the fatted calf. Well, according to story, in the original Greek, this can be translated, get the appointed calf. That is to say, get the calf that I have set aside for this special occasion. What does that mean? It means that from the day the rebellious son insulted his father and left home and went into the far country, the father had been planning to celebrate his son's return. From that very day, he had started planning how to welcome his son home. While the son was separated from the father, while he fell deeper and deeper into destitution and hopelessness and sin, his loving father was waiting for him to come home and planning a feast to welcome him. What do you do when someone fails? Well, the best thing you can do is love them. For love never fails. Love never fails to do the right thing. Love never fails to do the healing thing, the redemptive thing. Love never fails to make a positive difference in the life of another. For you see, when you love someone who fails, you can make a winner out of a loser. And that's the gospel truth. During this time of reflection and prayer, let us turn back to God. Let us open our hearts to Him because His heart is open to you in this time of prayer and recommitment.